Good morning, everybody. Just a reminder, there have been changes in schedule. Just 1 second. Of course, it's not working. We suggest to you that during the course of the week you must look at Torah tidbits to find out what the schedule for next Tuesday is going to be, since Rabbi Adler is going to be out of town and I'll be coming back from out of town, and I'm not sure if I'm going to make it, and this Fashlugana tape recorder is not working. Yes, this is mine. It has served me so well for so long. If it's not working, I'll have to get one from you anyway. What could have been? All right, you know. Rabbi Adler is going to be out of the country, and I'll be coming back from out of the city. So the two of us are not going to be here next Tuesday morning. And then I find out that even if we would have been here, there are a whole bunch of you that are planning on flying the coop. There are those who are going to Ein Gedi and those who are going out of the country, and nobody tells us about it. You know, you can go off and enjoy yourselves. Nobody tells anything to us. But as I said, most probably Phil Chernovsky will most probably create one of the most fascinating programs of all for next Tuesday morning. So please check Torah Tidbits. I think Torah Tidbits is read by more people in this country than anything else in English, except maybe the Jerusalem Post. Why is this sleuth?
Can we tell you what I think your problem is?
What?
I don't think this is
strong enough.
Yeah.
You know what? No, this is torn. This is torn. Just 1 second. Yes. No, there's something wrong with the tape. Yeah, that might take it back. And we'll make a copy for you. What do you mean? Do you have to have a copy? This is, I really appreciate, this is really Mesiras Nefesh. There are certain things people don't give away, and one of them is their tapes. Right, it's a faulty tape. Thank you very much. All right, good morning, everybody. This week's Seder is Parashas Mishpatim, and I think that I have a number of things that are maybe important, and maybe significant, that I haven't found elsewhere. And when I'm able to come up with something like that, it makes me feel good, even if everything else is not that good. Yeah, I'll tell you, one of the things, just as a passing comment before we begin this year, something upset me last week. Something. upset me every day of last week. It was one of the rare occasions that I didn't want to speak on Shabbos. I didn't want to speak in shul. I was so upset. And then I come into shul and there are all sorts of guests from all over. So I couldn't let them down. So I especially there were some people from my former congregation, West Hempstead, so you know, I've got to knock around and give them a drasha b'yivrit. So I really got up and I said everything that upset me during the course of the last week, and that's why it was so difficult for me to talk about. There were so many things that were upsetting. Karen Kayenet, you understand? So I decided, I think somebody remembers in davening, Karen Kayenet? La'olam haba. You say the Mishnah in the Karen Kayenet, not for this world and not for this time. No. I remember my father in Williamsburg. That was heroic. You used to walk around with a blue and white pushka collecting pennies to buy land, for Jews, and along comes a government of the state of Israel says, the land, that's for everybody.
I stood at Farm Food with a blue box.
You remember Farm Food? Remember Farm Food? Yes. So that was enough. I used to go on the subway, that's right. Back and forth from Canal Street to 42nd. You cross over to the other side and you come back. And then, of course, the problem with the yeshiva university degrees that are accepted by Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, but not by the Misar HaChinuch. They're working on it. They haven't worked on it yet. The list was endless. I didn't get down to disengagement and all of the rest of the problems, all the rest. But I tell you, there's one thing that bothered me maybe even more than them all. The press and everybody and the radio, when they sang Keil Molei Rachamim in the United Nations for the first time in 60 years, the cadences of Keil Molei Rachamim. And on Thursday, Kenta Malavani at Auschwitz. Keil Molei Rachamim. I can't do it as well as he does it. Right. You know what I would have done? Keil Molei Rachamim, Goyim like that song better than any other song. Because you say it on dead Jews. If I would have been at Auschwitz, you know what I would have sung? Am Yisrael Chai. I would have sung Am Yisrael Chai songs to Platzbrech and the whole bunch of them. Keil Molei Rachamim is our personal tefillah for the terrible loss that we have. I don't need them to hear me cry at Keil Molei Rachamim. The woman was the biggest heroine of the week. Boy, can you imagine? If I had a thousand young people at Auschwitz and we'd start singing Od Avinu Chai, Am Yisrael Chai, God, they'd get surplused. All right, I have that out of my system right now.
What about Tente Yeshivas?
Tente Yeshivas, yes, I forgot about that. That was on my list. That was on my Shabbos list of things to upset me. Maskinayati Malka? Malka's agreeing with me. All right. Parashas Mishpatim is probably one of those amazing parashiyot in Torah. You have all of Jewish jurisprudence, all of that which regulates the relationship between men and fellow men is there in Parashat Mishpatim. And here we have a painful Haftorah, very painful Haftorah, very unique, very unusual. Hadavar asher haya Yirmiyahu meyet Hashem acharei kriot hamelech Tzidkiyahu brit et kol ha'am asher b'Yerushalayim likro lehem dror. The words of God that came to Yirmiyahu after there had been a covenant entered into between King Tzidkiyahu. Now you have to remember, King Tzidkiyahu is the last of the kings of Yehuda. They don't know it yet, but the Churban is coming. The destruction of the Beit HaMikdash is coming. And most probably in one of the difficult moments at which they felt that the city might fall, and according to some of the Mefarshim, it's when the city was already surrounded for the first time by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel. So there was a wave of tshuva that went through Klal Yisrael, and they entered into a covenant. Tzidkiyahu got them to agree to free their Hebrew slaves. It seems, as we will see, that there were Jews who had Hebrew slaves. Now, everybody knows, of course, that Parashat Mishpatim begins with the law of Hebrew slaves. 6 years he shall work for you, the seventh year he shall go out free. In the event that he chooses afterwards to remain with his master, he has to be brought before the Bet Din, and he has to tell them, Ahavti et Adoni et Ishti vet Bonai, I love my master, my wife, my children, I don't want to go out free. So they're supposed to take him to the doorpost in Bet Din, bore a hole in his ear, and he remains a slave until Yovel. So, of course, everybody assumes, all the Mepharshim assume, that the relationship between the Parsha and the Haftorah is so obvious, because the Haftorah is going to be talking about freeing slaves. In other words, there was a period of time at which it seems Jews were holding on to their slaves and didn't let them go free. They simply reduced them to people without any ability to be free. I'm reading Natan Sharansky's book on democracy. I tell you, if Sharansky would be smart, he'd buy 120 copies for each member of Knesset, and then another bunch of copies for every member of the cabinet, and make sure that they read it. He talks at great length about two kinds of societies in the world. There's the fear society and the free society. Keeps repeating the differences between fear societies and free societies. And free societies, fear societies, desperately need external enemies. Fear societies need somebody to hate. Of course, the one that's always been the best candidate to be hated, that's us. We have been used throughout history to bolster and maintain fear societies. I'm afraid to say that what was taking place in Yerushalayim at the time was that the slaves were afraid of the heavy hand of their masters. Masters didn't let them go free at the end of the 6 years. This is a terrible thing. And here is the noose. The noose is beginning to close around Yerushalayim. There is a feeling of tshuva that goes through. The king therefore calls everybody together and they make a covenant. Likro lahem dror, to call for the freeing of all the bondsmen. Dror. The word dror appears in Torah by Yovel in Parashat. In Parashat Bahar it says, you all know the translation of that pasuk. Ukratem dror. Ukrasem dror ba'aretz l'chol yoshveha. Please translate that for me into English. And where does it appear? Ukrasem dror. No. No. That's right. And thou shalt proclaim liberty to the land. They're up right at Liberty Park down here. They tell me that they stole it and they have it in Philadelphia too. And then, Ukros and Dror Ba'oretz L'chol Yoshveho, you should free slaves in the Jubilee year. The word Likrola and Dror, a covenant entered into between the king and the people of Yerushalayim to free all of their slaves. This is the Emancipation Proclamation of Tzidkiyahu. Of course, the terrible thing is that this was happening. I always find it difficult, even though according to some of the Mepharshim, it was widespread. I have a great deal of difficulty believing that something as terrible as this was widespread. In other words, it may have existed in some neighborhoods in Yerushalayim. And it may be possible that there was silence. There weren't those who spoke out against it. And if you don't speak out against such immorality, then you should know the one who doesn't speak out is also considered as an accomplice in this crime. And finally, Tzidkiyahu the king. They all agreed. What was the covenant? L'shaleach ish et avdo v'idish ish et shivchato. Each man will send away his manservant and his maidservant. Ha'ivri v'ha'ivriya choshim. The Hebrew male or female, send them free. L'vilti avod v'am b'yehudi achihu ish. They will no longer work and slave their fellow Jews. Ayish mukol asor v'chol ha'am. They heard all of the officers, all of the sarim. Now, one could have thought that it was only the sarim that were doing this, but then again it says, v'chol ha'am, asher bo bebrit, all of them who had entered into this covenant, l'shaleach ishet avdov ishet shukhato chavshim, to send their manservants and maidservants free, levilti avod bam, not to enslave them. And what happened was, by Yishmu, they heard. By heard, it means so much more than heard. They internalized it. They internalized it. By Yishal Lechu, and they sent them, and they sent them free. So here it is. A great thing was done. A great thing was done. And you know what happened? By Yoshuvu Acharei Kain. Afterwards, they turned around. They brought back this male and female servants. What I have to imagine is, and historically what happened was, the first time the city was besieged by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, he had to lift the siege because Egypt was on the way to wage war with him. So he lifted the siege of Yerushalayim, went down south around Lachish and Gat, and there was a great battle with Egypt. So there was a sense of ease. The tension eased. Okay, the Rebbeinu was off our back. We can go back. Oh, I hate that word over here. Can go back to the Shigra. Back to the Shigra, the normal way of conducting our lives. And they brought their slaves back. Well, how do they do this? Most probably because at this point in time already, there was a large part of the population in Yerushalayim that were on the verge of being destitute. The city had been surrounded. There was a siege that had taken place. A good part of Yehuda had already been conquered. They weren't able to work their fields. Maybe the city already was overrun with all sorts of additional people that had come into the city. And most probably they will, in a sense, they nearly willingly accepted to go back to work as long as they should have work. And they took back, they brought back their avadim and shvachot asher shalchu chavshim, vayich b'shum. They brought back those that they had sent free, vayich b'shum, and subjugated them. You know the dirty word in this country, kibush, conquest, vayich b'shum, la'avadim v'lishvachot. They took them back and they subjugated them. I mean, it's so painful. You have no idea. And then again, in more lucid moments, I have this terrible feeling. Are we doing, or has this government done everything that they can do for the weaker, less fortunate part of our community? Is it the families that are blessed with many children? There are, what, 500,000 children living below the poverty line? I mean, there are a lot of things going on. You don't have to have people enslaved. And what happens if there are people working here and are not receiving the proper wage? That's not avodim ushvachos. That's mamash avodim ushvachos. And what happens if they are? And what happens if there are foreign workers who are here in the country? What are they? They're chattel, or are they people who should have rights? I mean, there are a lot of serious things, but you know, I don't like to talk ill of Klal Yisrael, and I don't like to talk ill, but let's not, never make the mistake of thinking that what the Yirmiyahu here, for example, is talking about is something that we're absolutely free. We're okay, I'm okay, you're okay, they weren't okay. Avodim u'shvachos can mean all sorts of things. and even in a business, in a company. If a boss does not know how to conduct himself with his employees, he is subjugating them. And I think it happens time and time again. There are bosses who think that they can boss everybody around. And human beings should have a sense of dignity and respect, and you have to treat them with that. And if not, you are turning them into avodim, ushvachot.
The word of God came to Yirmiyahu from God saying, Komar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so says the God of Israel, Anochi Karati Brit Avotechem, I made a covenant with your fathers. B'yom Hotzi Otam Eretz Mitzrayim, the day that I took them out of Egypt, Mibet Avadim, from the house of slavery, Lamor, I said the following, and this of course is the beginning of Parshat Mishpatim. Mikeid Sheva Shonim, at the end, and it means in the seventh year, after 6 years have passed, Teshalchu Ish et Achiv HaIvri Asher Yimache Lecha, you should send away your brother, the Hebrew, who was sold to you. V'avodach Hashem Shonim, Mamish, this is the whole beginning of the parasha. He shall work for you for 6 years, V'shilachto Chofshi Ve'imach, and you send them off free. This is a very difficult phrase. It means that this is not something that had happened now, but it is something that had already been done in the past. Your fathers didn't listen to me. They didn't even incline or bend their ears to listen. This is quite a condemnation of the Jewish people. And now you turned, Hayom. You know what you had done? You went ahead and you did that which was right in my eyes. You did the right thing. To call for freedom, each man and his friend. Do you know where you took this oath, where you entered into this covenant? In my Bet HaMikdash, in my presence, you all gathered here with your king, and you made a commitment, a covenant, that you're going to send them free. That means something. That means a great deal. And then Vatashuvu, you turned around, Vatachalalu et Shmi, you desecrated my name. A covenant that you took in my presence, in my name, you went and you desecrated my name. Vatashivu ish et avdo vish et shefchato, each person brought back his slave and each one his maidservant, Ashishalachtem chavshim lenavshom, you sent them free lenavshom. The word lenavshom always means will. Nefesh is will. Chofshi is not enough. The idea of chofshi, being free, is that I have a will of my own. I can express myself. And you did that. And vatich b'shuotam, then you went ahead and you subjugated them, liyot lachem lavadim lishvachot, they should be slaves and maidservants to you. Terrible thing what you did. Lachain Koamar Hashem. Therefore says God, Atem lo shematem elai likror dror ish leochiv ish lereyayu. You didn't listen to me to call for freedom, each man for his brother and each man for his friend. Hinini korei lachem dror. The punishment is, I'm going to make you free. Free in the sense that you're hefker, you're ownerless. Everybody is going to be able to come down upon you. I kore lechem dror nu'um Hashem, says God, el hacherev, el hadever, ve'el ha'ra'av. I think 20 times these three words appear in succession in Sefer Yirmiyahu. The sword, the plague, hacherev, hadever, ve'harav, and famine. And by the way, these three are always the result of war and a city that is in siege.
There are those who die on the field of battle, and then, of course, those in the city where, without proper nourishment, without water supplies, epidemic begins, and then ultimately hunger. Terrible punishment. V'natati etchem l'za'ava l'chol mamlechot. The whole mamlechot ha'aretz. And I will make you an object of fear and terror in the eyes of all the nations of the world. What a difficult haftarah this is. V'natati et ha'anoshim ha'ovrim et briti. Those people who transgress my covenant, Ashelo hekimu et divrei ha'brit, that did not fulfill the words of the covenant, asher kortu lefanai, that they made before me, ha'egel asher kortu lishnayim, the calf that they cut in half. The calf they cut in half. That's what the symbolism of cutting a calf in half is. And that took place by the Brit Bein HaBetarim, the covenant between the pieces, between God and Avraham Avinu. They would cut an eagle, a calf, in two pieces, and the parties to the covenant would walk through. And in a sense, the symbolism of this is, if you break the covenant, that's what's going to happen to you. If you break the covenant, you're bringing destruction upon yourself. Sorei Yehuda and Sorei Yerushalayim, the officers of Yehuda and the officers of Yerushalayim, Hasorvisim v'Hakohanim, the leaders of the priests, v'Chol Am Haaretz, and all of the people of the land, Ha'ovrim bein bitrei ha'egel, who had gone between the parts of the egel. Seems the whole community was involved in this great covenant. V'Natati otam b'yad ro'ivim, I'm going to give them into the hands of their enemies. Ubiyat the Vakshain of Shaman into the hands of those who seek their lives. It's going to get very bad over here. Vahaitan nivlatam, and their bodies will be la ma'achal for food, la'ov hashamayim, the birds of the heaven, ulubemat ha'aretz, and to the animals of the field. And not too often do you find such terrible punishment, because we're talking over here about a terrible, terrible crime, bein odom lechavedo, in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh.
You also have to refer to this, that they had Sarisim?
That they had?
Sarisim?
The word Sarisim can have a number of different meanings. I have no way of knowing precisely what the word Sarisim here means.
So.
Yeah, that's what it means. It means in many places in Tanakh, it means pikidim, a pakid. By the way, a word, a pakid is also a dirty word in Hebrew, you understand. The trouble that a pakid can make. But I don't think we have the right to take that step further. There's the king of Yehuda, that Sarav, and his ministers attained the Adayaveim, I will give them to the hands of their enemies, Ubiyad Mavakshain of Shaman, in the hands of those who seek their lives, Ubiyad Chil Meler Bavel, and in the hands of the army of the king of Bavel, Ha'olim Mi'aleichem, who are now going up from you, they are now lifting the siege. But you should know the lifting of the siege is temporary, because they're going to come back. They're going to come back. Hinini mitzaveh ne'um Hashem. God says, behold, I command, v'hashivotim el ha'ir hazot, they're going to return to this city, v'nilchamu aleha, and they're going to wage war against this city, u'lechaduha, they will capture her, u'serafuha be'esh, and they will burn the city in fire, that ore Yehuda etein shmama, and the cities of Yehuda I will make desolate, me'ein yoshev, with nobody living there. What a terrible, terrible punishment. All right. It would therefore seem quite obvious that the relationship between the Sedra and the Haftorah is, the Haftorah has quoted Psukim from the beginning of Parshat Mishpatim. You're supposed to send away your slave at the end of the 6 years, at the beginning of the seventh year, and you didn't do it. You didn't do it. This, of course, includes the entire gamut of the relationship between man and fellow man. I mean, there's a form of avdus. I consider a form of avdus. Verbal violence in a family is also a form of avdus. If husband or wife are afraid of a spouse, if children are terrified of a parent, you don't have to have, you don't have to be an uncle, who's it, Uncle Tom? Simon Legree. You don't have to be a Simon Legree who has slaves and he whips them. You can turn your next door neighbor who's afraid of you for whatever silly reason you do it. It happens all the time. Terrible thing. This is a form of slavery. And the punishment is swift, it's total, it's the end. I mean, this is one of the psukim in Yirmiyahu where it seems that the die is so cast, it's all over. Now, this was chapter 34, from Pasuk 8 to Pasuk 22. How many psukim is that? 14 psukim. All right. Now, 15? My arithmetic isn't good, that's why I asked you. Huh? It includes the 8. So it's 15 psukim. 15 psukim. Now I'm going to show you something that I haven't seen a soul in the world who speaks about it. There must be somebody finally who, but I haven't seen it. I'm very happy about that. The last two psukim of the Haftarah are from chapter 33. Adamora, go back. Oh, you have heard anything of the sort? No. I can understand why there are two psukim added. The truth is, I would have felt a little better if six psukim would have been added, so that you end up between 15 plus 6 is 21, which would be the normal or average, or what should be a proper haftorah is 21 psukim. But no. So it's another two psukim. And the two psukim come from before. Flashback. We go back to the end of chapter 33, and we put in two psukim. One of them is a very famous pasuk. I mean, so here the tension can, is going to be released a little bit now. Ko amar Hashem, so says God, im lo brisi yomam v'layla, if not for my covenant, day and night, chukot shamayim v'odetz lo samti, I would not have made the laws of heaven and earth. I would not have made the laws of heaven and earth. Now, it has a number of there are a number of meanings to this pasuk. There's the meaning as it is expressed by our rabbis, that the pasuk is talking about Torah. What is the covenant of day and night? At the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, God says to Yehoshua about Torah, V'hogita bo yomam v'layla. You should study Torah day and night. So therefore our rabbis, in a homiletic interpretation of this pasuk, says that all of the whole world, chukot shamayim va'aretz, the law that heaven and earth, all of nature, was brought into being, was only for one reason. The reason was because of my covenant of day and night, briti yom v'layla, because of Torah I brought the world into being. Rashi says Yom Hashishi, Yom Hashishi, at the end of creation, it says, Vayiyere, Vayivoke, Yom Hashishi. Why does it say Hashishi? So Rashi says, brings it from the Gemara, that all of creation that had been brought into being in those 7 days, all was being held in suspension for the great sixth day. The sixth day of Sivan, when Jews would receive Torah. Because in Lo Brisi Yom of Alayla, if there won't be somebody who is going to take my covenant of day and night, the mitzvah of study of Torah, Chukot Shemayim V'aretz Lo Santi, I wouldn't have made all of the laws of heaven and earth. The purpose of the world is for the study of Torah, the fulfillment of mitzvahs. That's a homiletic interpretation of the pasuk. Now the pasuk has a meaning of pshat. And the meaning of pshat is the following. Just like yomam v'layla, day and night, shamayim v'aretz, are going to continue until the end of time. And if you can't imagine that there won't be day or night or heaven and earth. Gam Zera Yaakov, it leads into the next pasuk, the last pasuk. So to the seed of Yaakov, and David Avdi, my servant David, am us. I will reject. What it means is, just like I will not destroy heaven and earth, day and night, so I will never reject. I will never reject the seed of Yaakov and the kingdom of David. Remember, in this Haftorah, there was a rejection of the Jewish people and the king. The king, too, is going to be taken off into captivity. This pasuk says that whatever is going to happen, it is going to be of a temporary nature, because ultimately there will be a reconciliation between God and the Jewish people. Mikachas mizaro moshlim el zera Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. I will never obliterate the idea of ultimately taking from his children those who will rule the seed of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Ki oshiv et shvutam, because ultimately I'm going to bring back their captivity. You didn't see that. Okay, I think I'm going to have to give 100 shekel to the album Silver. I forgot. I'm human. You might have thought otherwise. I didn't even look to see who it was. It's a terrible thing. It's the second time it's happened to me in a few days. I gave a lecture in Netanya. Mitzvah Yishabas, got 1 minute into the lecture, there goes my cell phone. I forgot the Taraya. On my way out of the house, on my door out of the house, I have a sign. Did you remember? Two. One. Wallet. Two. Sunglasses. Three. Car keys. Four. Head. Five. Water. You know, I have a whole list. I think I need to put up, you know, when you pass 40, these things begin to happen with much greater frequency. Did you turn off your cell phone? Alright. We needed something to break up the tension over here. This difficult Haftorah. So the Haftorah ends with a message of great hope. Now I want to tell you Gold's pshat. The relationship between the Sedra and the Haftorah is only incidentally the first segment of Parshas Mishpatim that talks about slaves. Even though a pasuk is quoted here in the Haftorah from there, that's not the relationship. Turn over. In middle of the Sedra, it says the following: Kol almona v'yatom lo ta'anun. You shall not cause pain to any widow or orphan. Now comes a very unusual and exceptional pasuk. Im ane ta'aneoto. If you are going to cause them pain, torture. Now you will notice. What do you expect should come right after this? Right after this it should say,
this is going to happen to you. No. That doesn't say anything. The pasuk goes on to say, ki im tzo'o ki tzake lai. If he will call out unto me, shoma eshma tzakato, God says, I will hear his cry. And when I hear the cry of the underprivileged, when I hear the cry of those who will be exploited, the choro api, my anger will be kindled, and I will kill you by the sword. Your wives are going to be widows and your children will be orphans. Certainly one of the severe psukim in all of Torah. There are two problems amongst many problems in these psukim. One, of course, is the problem that there's a dangling sentence of it. If you will cause them pain, no. So you know what it really means. If you will cause them pain, so you know what should follow the beginning of the second pasuk? Im ane ta'ane oto, v'chora api, the third pasuk. The third pasuk should follow after im ane ta'ane oto. If you will cause them pain, then you know what's going to happen? I will get angry with you, and then terrible things will happen. But it doesn't say it. We'll be left hanging. Good. There's another problem. The other problem is the first pasuk, kol almanavi atom lo ta'anun. Lo ta'anun is a plural. Ta'anun means many people that are causing pain to the underprivileged. Im anei ta'anei oto, if you will cause him pain. Wait a minute. We have now switched from plural, we've now turned to singular. And then, of course, the next pasuk is all singular. That imane taneoto ki imtzo'o ki yitzak elai, he will cry out to me. Shomoa eshmatza kato, I will hear his cry. Vechora api, what? We switch to plural in the third pasuk. My anger will be kindled, and I will kill you by the sword. And your wives will be. Widows and your children are going to be orphans. There's a great deal said about these psukim, but I'll tell you just a few ideas that will get you to the point that I want to get you to. The Eben Ezra says, you know why there's a plural, a singular, and a plural? Because whenever there is exploitation or pain being caused to the weak, so the guilty one is not only the one who does it, but everybody, all society, anybody who knows about it and can do something about it. There is no one who can walk the streets and say, what, me, worry, I didn't do anything. There's no such thing. In Yahadut, when there is suffering, the perpetrator is guilty, and the silent majority is just as guilty. And therefore, the punishment is going to come plural. Not only on the one who committed the crime, it's going to come on everybody. Nobody can ever hide behind saying, listen, I don't know, I don't see, I don't hear, I don't read the newspapers, you know, I don't listen to the radio, I've tuned the world out. You can't tune the world out. There are people living in this world, there are Jews living in this world, you can't tune out the world. You can't have the excuse later of saying, really? That's what they were doing? I didn't know. They really planned on tearing 8,000 men, women, and children out. I didn't know. That's one. Number two, im anei ta'anei oto. If you will torture him, dangling. So what's going to happen? Rashi brings
a number of psukim in which we're left dangling like this, and sort of the punishment is so horrible that we don't really want to say it. If you don't do that now, I don't have to say the rest. And that's even more frightening. When the Rebbe Shem says, "Im ane tarayoto, hitzuch debeina," you don't have to say the rest. The Ramban and others have a different way of looking at it. The Ramban says, "Im ane tarayoto, if you will cause him pain, ki im tzaok yitzak elai." All that has to happen is, all he has to do is just cry out. You should know, the moment I hear the cry, Shamoa Eshmatzakato, you should know, I wait for nothing. Punishment will come swiftly. And I want to read with you a section of the Ramban that you have immediately below there. It's one, I consider it one of the great, great statements of the Ramban. It's unbelievable. That's where it is underlined. You know, it's not so underlined so well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The sixth line in the Ramban. V'hamachon be'inai, what's correct in my eyes. Kiyomar. It says, imanei ta'anoi oto. If you're going to cause him pain, rak im tzok yitzak alei bavav, if all he does is cry out to me, miyad eshmat zakato, I will immediately hear his cry. Einenu tzadik ledavar acher klal. He doesn't need anything else. He doesn't have to say tilim. He doesn't have to go to rebbes. He doesn't, the one who is being hurt, all he has to do is cry out to me. He needs no intermediary. Nothing. Nothing. Ki ani oshienu, I'm going to save him. Ve'en kom oto mincha, and I will take revenge for him from you. V'hatam. Listen to what he's going to say now. It is so beautiful. The reason for this is ki ata locheitz oto. Why are you oppressing him? You know why you're oppressing him? Because you think he's helpless. He can't fight back. I have all the cards. I have all the cards. I have all the power. He's powerless. He can't do anything. So you should know that that's the worst mistake in the world. You can have the armies. You can have the money. You can have everything. There's only one thing he has. This weak person who's being exploited, he has me, God, on his side. I'm on his side. It's a completely uneven struggle. You don't stand a chance. He's going to cry to me. Doesn't have to do anything. Rebbein Shalom, Gott in Himmel. That's all he has to say. I'm going to listen. Listen to the words of the Ramban. Ki atah locheitz oto, you oppress him mipnei she'ein lo moshiya miyadcha, because he doesn't have anybody to save him from your hands. V'hinehu ne'ezar yoter mikol odam, he has more help than any other person in the world. Ki sharho anoshim, all others, including you, yitrichu, you're going to have to trouble yourself, acharei moshiim sheyoshiim, you're going to have to look for saviors who are going to save you. Va'acharei ozrim linkom nikmatam, they're going to need people who will assist them to take revenge. V'ulai lo yoilu, maybe you oppressor, all of the help and assistance you're going to have, maybe it's not going to help, v'atzei lo yatzilu, they're not going to save anything. V'zeh, this person who's been trampled underfoot by you, v'tzakato bilvad, with his cry alone, no shabah Hashem,
He is saved by God. V'yinkom mincha ki nokem Hashem ubaruchemo. Because God is the one who takes revenge, and He is the one of anger. Yes. That's right. But maybe it didn't happen quick enough for people in Mitzrayim. There's the idea over here. The idea over here, I once expressed it as the weak are the most powerful. That's what the Ramban is saying. The weak are the most powerful. Because they're the ones who have God on their side. And therefore the one who with his strength... I'm looking for a worse word than strength. In Hebrew... Dorsanut, trampling on the on others. Dorsanut, it's quite a word. You think that you're just going to be able to do everything and anything you want. There's the Yom HaDin. The Yom HaDin is going to come. So you know what's happening? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? The Haftorah is related to these psukim, not to the psukim at the beginning of the parsha. They're incidental. Why are they keeping men and women and as slaves in Yerushalayim? Because they're the weak. They're the downtrodden. And what does God say when you cause suffering to the weak and the downtrodden? V'chora api v'chem v'horakti etchem v'chore. What does Yirmiyahu say in the name of God? I'm going to bring chedev, dever, and rov against you. Not because you didn't keep Shabbos. Not because you may have eaten rabbanut instead of badatz. Not because of any of those kinds of sins. I'm going to destroy you because your relationship with your fellow Jew leaves a great deal to be desired. And when the innocent suffer by the hands of the high and mighty, I am the one who brings them down. So number one, I believe it's not bad that the relationship between the Sedra and the Haftorah is related to the middle, the epicenter of the whole Sedra. Because by the way, these psukim really move outward to explain all of the mishpatim that are the relationship between men and fellow men. Be very careful. You can cause suffering to people through money, through words. There's so many ways you can cause. And Nebuch, that's one thing you have to pray for. Never to even inadvertently hurt a fellow Jew. It scares me. At times, I think at times, I hope, you know, I can be a little less than gentle sometimes. I hope that I never really hurt anybody, because that's the worst. To hurt a fellow Jew, I'm sorry. Unless, of course, it's a time at which you have to stand up for your ideals and fight. Okay, then, you know, all is fair in love and fighting for Eretz Yisrael, all is fair. But it has to be done with gut eis getrach. Number two, I have 3 minutes for my great chiddush, the great chiddush. And you're just going to have to trust me. There's something very strange about the structure of Parshas Mishpatim. You won't believe it. Toward the very end of the Parsha, and why do I bring everything, of course, except my Chumash, and then I'll have to look to Masha? I said I have to look to Masha. I mean, I remember the so far, I just want to make sure that I don't misquote. There's a whole problem. Thank you very much. It's open to Mishpatim. This is very good. She's doing Parashat HaShavua. So I'm telling you that there's something unusual about this Sedra. Here is the... you have a whole Sedra. I turned mine off. You're all my witnesses. Here it is.
Okay, good. Wait, 24. Oh, I got it. After the whole parasha, toward the end, comes the following. Ve'el Moshe Omar, and God said to Moshe, Ale al Hashem, to Moshe, he said, go up to God, you, Aaron, Nadav, and for you, the 70 elders, and bow down from the distance, and Moshe himself shall come to God, and they shall not come. V'ho'am lo yalu imo, the people should not go up with him. And Moshe came and he told everything, all the words of God, and all of the mishpatim, and the entire people said, whatever God said, now said we will do. All right. There's a whole problem in the Mefarshim with the end of the Sedra. This seems to be a description of the days preceding Torah being given at Sinai. You know what that means? This whole parsha, the whole end of the Sedra, is out of place. It's not where it belongs. It should have been in Yitro, not at the end of Mishpatim. So of all things, Rashi takes care of it simply. Vel Moshe Amar, this is earlier. The Ramban disagrees with him vehemently. He says, what are you talking about? It's out of place. And he has to restructure the whole parasha. And then to me, there was one thing that struck me. And then when I go through a long, long piece in the Ksav HaKabbalah of Yaakov Mecklenburg, unbelievable sefer on Chumash, written about 150 years ago. He says exactly, in all humility, exactly what struck me when I read the Pesukim. You should know that in Hebrew there is also past perfect. Past perfect means, for example here, Ve'el Moshe Omar. Ve'el Moshe Omar is, and to Moshe he had said. If it's coming in chronological order, it should have said, as always, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe. But it doesn't say Vayomer Hashem El Moshe. It says Ve'el Moshe Omar, and to Moshe he had said. Which really means that the pasuk is telling me clearly, Rashi's right. The pasuk is telling me clearly that this is, as you know, what we call it in Hebrew, flashback. This is telling me what had happened. Do you know what's clear? That it's not in order. What comes at the end really happened earlier. The question is, why is it written this way? Why couldn't it have been written in order? Why couldn't it have been written in order? So we have to come up with some kind of an answer. Maybe what they want to say is, now that you've heard all of the Mishpatim, the grandeur and the majesty of Torah, you should know, Jews, before they even heard all of the beauty of Torah, they had already said Naaseh. They had already said, without having heard it, without knowing about it, they said, Naaseh, we're gonna do it. It means it's out of order in order to tell me that they have accepted the Torah that they accepted was without the famous Medrash that says that when God brought the Torah to the nations of the world, he offered it to Esau, he offered it to Yishmael. So what was their response? Their response was, Ma katunva, what's written in Torah? Give us a sample. Let me hear what it is. And God tells them, Lo tirtzach, lo tignav, lo tinav, and they say, no, we cannot accept it. So here it is. Goyim, I've always explained that Medrash, that Goyim answer like Jews with a question. And when Jews are asked the most important question in their entire history, will you accept my Torah? They answer, Nasa v'nishma. You know why this parsha is out of order? They didn't know what the grandeur of Torah was going to be. Torah tells us, Parshas Mishpatim, the deep, profound concern for every human being. It's an unbelievable Parshas Mishpatim. And they didn't know that's what it's going to be. They didn't know what demands were going to be made of them. So therefore, after the whole parasha is over, you should know, Kindalach, Del Moshe Amar, God had told Moshe to come up to the mountain, go down and offer Torah to them. And you know what they did? They said, Naaseh, we're going to do it. Now you know what my next and last step is. Just like the Sedra has a flashback to something before the Haftorah was built in this unusual, exceptional way, that the end of the Haftorah, they take us back to two psukim earlier. And what were those two psukim? In Lo Brisi Yom V'Laila, my covenant of day and night, my Torah. The flashback at the end of the Sedra, the unusual and exceptional structure of the Sedra is repeated in the Haftorah. That's why this Haftorah, different than any other Haftorah, takes you back to the chapter before. Just like the Sedra takes you back to the chapter before. In order to tell you, in Lo Brisi Yom V'Laila, Chukah Shemayim V'Orfu Santi, the foundation upon which this world stands is Torah, the covenant of day and night. What a beautiful, beautiful Haftorah. Okay. Now, wait a minute. You know, of course, the instructions that were given to you at the beginning. Wait a minute. No. I just want to say, we were learning today. Let our learning have been for a Refuah Shleima, for a young child, Elchanan Baruch Ben Sarah, who needs a Refuah Shleima. We're all in the style of Refuah Shleima for Elchanan Baruch Ben Sarah. The second thing is, please make sure that you read Torah tidbits to find out what the program for next Tuesday is going to be. I don't go on vacations, Rebbetz and Kahana.
I have a question, Dave.
Just one moment, let me turn this off.
I have a question.
Wait. Doesn't stop.